Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carling, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarling.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list on a regular basis. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask each of you to consider the information that myself and my guests share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything you are told. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free, USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry, which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others in our earth as we would want done to ourselves. Please spread the word about these broadcasts, and remember, as Voltaire stated, we are not only responsible for what we do, but also for what we don't do. And I would also like to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting the website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, 6 issues a year. It's the First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. And I would also like to remind you that I'm also now on www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. On tonight's show, the answer to what's ailing America is going to be milk the deadly poison. And I am so pleased to have as my special guest the author of a book by that name, as well as many others. Robert Cohen is director of the Dairy Education Board and has been writing a dairy column for 14 years on milk and health-related issues. And if you're on my list, you received a URL link to his excellent YouTube video that he has on milk the toxic poison. So if you saw that, you got a little bit of a teaser as to what we're going to talk about tonight. His website, notmilk.com, contains thousands of references from scientific journals implicating milk and dairy consumption as the key factor in the Big Five: cancer, heart disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, and asthma. He is the author of 4 books. Milk the Deadly Poison, which I cannot highly enough recommend. Milk A to Z, which is like a children's book, but when you read it, you say, oh my goodness, every alphabet letter has a disease associated with it that is caused by milk. God's Nutritionist and Food for Thought. Robert holds a degree in psychobiology from Long Island University and ran an animal research lab where his field of study was psychoneuroendocrinology. So I would like to welcome you to the show, Robert. I'm so pleased that you have agreed to come on, because this is going to be such a wake-up call to all the individuals that are buying into that commercial on TV where you see them with a milk mustache and they say, got milk, and we should replace that with got cancer. So let me start off by welcoming you and asking you if you could go through the Big Five and tell us how milk is a key factor in cancer, heart disease, osteoporosis, diabetes, and asthma.
Well, first, Dr. Carley, I'd like to say thank you for inviting me. The last time we got together was about 8 years ago, and it's nice to see that you've maintained and increased your passion and energy. So good for
you.
Oh,
yeah. You know what they say, if they can't kill you, they make you stronger, and I'm flying at this point.
Well, I'll tell you something. I have to disagree with something that you said during your introduction.
Okay.
And you said it twice. You said they lie to us about everything.
Okay.
I disagree with that. I mean, I'll give you one example. There is a Santa Claus, okay? And that's probably my best example. They didn't lie about that.
Please do share.
Well, I'm telling you, there is a Santa Claus.
Okay.
But let me keep going. You asked about the Big Five. You know what's remarkable? Sometimes when I lecture, I ask the audience, what country has the highest rate of breast cancer? Hands go up and people yell out, the United States. And I go, nope. And the people, for a moment, and I tell them it's Denmark, followed by Norway, followed by Holland, followed by Sweden. And I say, okay, let's try again. What country has the highest rate of heart disease? And they yell out, the United States. And I say, no, you don't get it. Denmark, Norway, Holland, Sweden. Then I say, what country has the highest rate of bone disease? then they start to get it. Asthma, diabetes. Who drinks the most, who can eat the most cheese? It's much more than just coincidence. When we look at the epidemiological factors for the genesis of these diseases, we see a milk link. And this is just not saying that cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. There we have a lot of epidemiological data, but no real mechanism to tell why smoking cigarettes causes lung cancer. Nobody has ever proved it. Nobody's ever made the connection. We just know that people who smoke get lung cancer, so we've come to that conclusion. With milk and dairy products, I could spend 2 hours per each show giving you the scientific research data from peer-reviewed scientific journals on how milk and dairy products cause these diseases. And we can specifically get into each one if you want to, but I can be very scientific or I can speak laymanese, and I can discuss it in easy-to-understand terms or difficult.
Well, let me just say that I think it's best to start with the easy-to-understand terms, but your books go into much more detail about this, correct? So that, I have your books, Milk the Deadly Poison and Milk A to Z. So what I would suggest to the listeners is to get these books to use as a reference guide, but if you could start out by just giving them, you know, the big picture. I always like to start with the big picture, easy-to-understand version.
Well, most listeners are interested because we know so many people with it, with breast cancer. That's the key word here. And if you turn, think of page 5 or 6 of my book, Milk A to Z, you're going to see about a half dozen quotations from scientific journals about the milk connection. Thousands of things cause breast cancer. But once you get it, one thing makes it grow in your body. And the one thing that makes it grow happens to be the most powerful growth hormone that you manufacture in your body. It's called IGF-1, which stands for insulin-like growth factor. That is the most powerful growth hormone made by the human body. When we look at nature, there are 4,700 different mammals and hundreds of millions of different proteins and hormones. There's only one hormone in all of nature that's a perfect match between two species. Many people might think it's, human and chimpanzee or some primate. No, it's human and cow. The most powerful growth hormone in the human body, a hormone that's been identified as the key factor in the growth of every human breast cancer, it's identical in the cow body and the human body. If you have a lock that goes into your car or into your front door, a key that goes into the lock, that key might look very similar to another key that won't open the lock. But if you have the best locks out there, the Medco locks, they look similar, but if they're not exact, they're not going to open up the door and deliver you to your destination. But hormones, they have to be exact. And this IGF-1 is the key, and it's exact in the cow body and the human body. So thousands of things cause cancer. Normally, when you get cancer, it just sits there. It doesn't grow. It needs something to make it grow. And the key factor to the growth of every cancer is that hormone, IGF-1. And here we are eating it in cheese and ice cream and yogurt and drinking it in milk. And when you drink it in milk, homogenization actually improves upon nature so that these tiny hormones, these protein hormones, are encapsulated. You might remember those TV commercials, the time-release cold capsules, where they're protected from being broken down. And these protein hormones get into the stomach, they survive digestion, they get through the intestinal wall directly into the bloodstream where they now circulate, and they survive for up to 30 minutes. When they alight upon these existing cancers that are normally suspended from growing, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. Cancer, breast cancer, takes 8 to 12 years to grow from one cell, and it always starts with one cell, to grow from one cell to a million. Doubles every 3 months. And the key factor during this process is the fueling with that hormone, IGF-1. So there's the connection for cancer.
Okay, and I would just like to interject some of my information, because I'm definitely going to include this show in the packet that I send out to all my clients. As I explain, cancer is actually caused by contaminants, toxins that actually transform the trophoblast cells in our body into cancer cells, and pesticides is one of the biggies for breast cancer. The reason that the cancer cells are allowed to even progress into tumors are because the immune system is not working, and that's where vaccinations come in. But I totally agree with you that drinking milk is like pouring fuel on the fire. And let me just ask you, Robert, why is it that the FDA is not telling us about this problem? And, of course, that brings in the whole Monsanto factor, as they have this genetically engineered version of the growth hormone. What's going on there?
Well, when the FDA had their great controversy back in the early 1990s about the genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, I became the only American citizen to be afforded a private interview with the top scientists at the FDA on that team. At that time, the investigative branch for the Food and Drug Administration was and still is in Rockville, Maryland, the CVM, the Center for Veterinary Medicine, and Dr. Richard Teske was the man in charge. And at that meeting, we sat down, and one of the scientists looked at me and said, look, these protein hormones, they don't work, they don't survive digestion. And I looked at him and I said, you know something? When a mother, human mother, breastfeeds her infant, she's delivering lactoferrins and immunoglobulins and their protein. Are you telling me they don't work? And he looked at
me and he said, well, good answer.
He said, of course not. He said they're broken down. He said, breastfeeding provides psychological and nurturing benefit, but the proteins in breast milk don't work. And I said, is this the message you want to give to the American people? May I quote you? And he said, no, please don't quote me. Well, this is their ignorant understanding, and this is what scientists are about. If they're taught something in medical school, they repeat it, and they don't think for themselves sometimes, and they're very myopic. And we all know breastfeeding works. People who are breastfed have higher IQs and a greater immunological protection, and that's because the protein hormones survive. And when you drink cow's milk, you're basically utilizing a very efficient hormonal delivery system that has been even made more efficient by homogenization. So if breastfeeding works, drinking cow's milk works. And,
yes.
And cow's milk does not cause cancer. It simply contains the accelerant, the protein hormone that's been identified as the key factor in the growth of cancer. But cow's milk
totally
doesn't cause cancer.
You. Wait, if you could please go into more detail about the homogenization extent of this, because that is so important, and, of course, pasteurization is not a good thing either, but the homogenization, this is something I've been talking about for a long time. They keep on creating all these technologies that are actually making things worse. Please do, if you would, please go into a little bit more about how the homogenization actually makes this problem that you're describing more dangerous.
Well, when milk is homogenized, and homogenization first came into effect in the late 1950s and early 1960s, and many people can remember those days when milk was delivered right to your front porch and left in a little box, and the cream rose to the top before homogenization. Homogenization actually is a process by which milk is shot through, pressurized through a filter. The filter has 10,000 holes in it, and it's a few thousand pounds of pressure. And the fat molecules, which are called liposomes, are micronized. They're made between 10 and 100 times smaller. So, for example, a pint of milk can contain a trillion fat molecules. They're very tiny. And homogenization disperses the fat molecules evenly throughout the fluid. And again, each one becomes that little carrier vehicle for the hormones. They protect them, gives them greater protection. So the milk we drink today is so very different from the milk that was in America in the 1950s and the 1960s for a number of reasons. But homogenization represents the greatest effect.
Very interesting. Okay. And now if you could please get into heart disease. How is milk involved in that problem?
Well, I recently did an analysis of the different foods that we eat, the different proteins. For years, vegetarians have claimed, look, our protein in vegetables and fruits is the same as your protein in chicken and meat. And it's actually not true. People eating meat are eating a lot more flavor. And the flavor comes from sulfur. There are 28 amino acids in nature. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And 9 of those 28 are called essential. You must get them from food. The other 19 are made in your liver. And of those 28 amino acids, 2 of them have as their center atom sulfur. Now, we all know what the rotten egg smell is of burning sulfur. And you take that tremendous amount of sulfur from eggs and from chicken and from beef and from milk, and you infuse it into every cell of your body. It causes damage. I was recently with the lead researcher in the largest heart study in American history, Dr. William Castelli. And Dr. Castelli has performed for the last 30 years the Framingham Heart Study. And his study has come to a number of very well-respected plateaus throughout history. He once concluded that saturated animal fat is the key to heart disease, and then he concluded that cholesterol was the key to heart disease, and which most doctors believe incorrectly. And recently, the last 2 years, you ask Dr. Castelli the key to heart disease, he'll tell you homocysteine. And when I spoke with him, I said, well, where does homocysteine come from? And he said, well, people who have high homocysteine levels are the ones who have high rates of heart disease. And I repeated, where does it come from? He said, your body makes it. And I said, how does your body make it? And I knew the answer, and he didn't. And the answer is your body synthesizes homocysteine from the 2 amino acids, methionine and cysteine, that have as a center atom sulfur. So those are the ones that stink, and they infuse the sulfur into all of your cells, and they cause the damage. The homocysteine is what does it. So it causes an acid condition in the blood, and that's the key to heart disease. As a matter of fact, there's a colleague of mine from the Cleveland Clinic. Do you know the Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah.
Dr. Carley? Yeah. Cleveland Clinic, U.S. News and World Report, recently called the Cleveland Clinic the number one heart hospital in America. They treat 2 million patients a year there. And coincidentally, in their lobby, they have a large McDonald's. But 2 million patients a year. They gave one of their doctors, who's a vegan, Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, about 15 years ago, they gave him 20 patients. And these patients all had less than a month to live. And they're all still alive. He put them on a plant-based, vegan diet, plant-based, low-fat, vegan diet. And he reversed their heart disease. He made them what he calls heart attack proof. Now, when you look at the food we eat, the average American, the USDA publishes a book every year, Judy Putnam and Jane Altshouse edit it. And when I tell you these things, I give you references. It's called Food Consumption. And the average American every day eats 5 ounces a day of meat, chicken, and fish, and 29.2 ounces a day of milk, cheese, ice cream, yogurt, butter, sour cream. 29.2 ounces a day, that's 666 pounds a year of milk and dairy products. And Dr. Carley, I love that number, 666, because it represents something evil. It's 40% of what the average American eats. Milk and dairy is the key factor in heart disease, and it is in cancer. And when we look at osteoporosis, bone disease, the nations with the highest rates of bone loss, postmenopausal bone loss, are the ones eating the most animal protein. And again, milk is animal protein, and that's where the bone loss occurs. You create that from the sulfur, a weak acid condition in your blood, and your body in its wisdom has to neutralize that acid, and it does so by leaching calcium from your bones. The Harvard University is ongoing, the Harvard Nurses Study, 81,000 nurses in their database. And one of the publications that came from that study indicated that women who drank a lot of milk and ate a lot of cheese as teenagers have higher rates of pelvic fractures and forearm fractures than people who don't use dairy products. Completely the opposite of what the dairy industry has been, excuse this expression, lying to us about all these years.
I totally agree with you, and it's so amazing because, of course, osteoporosis is one of the main conditions that we're told that milk is supposed to prevent. And I totally agree with what you're saying, that milk actually acidifies you and your body leaches calcium from the bones in order to reverse this condition. And it's so amazing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
if you want to inform your readers and really help them understand this concept, the healthiest people in the world are those living on the 161 islands between Japan and Taiwan called Okinawa. A book was written called The Okinawa Diet Program by Wilcox and Suzuki. You can get it in your library. And in this book, The Okinawa Diet Program, they compared in one chapter calcium intake in different nations. In the United States, for example, the average American woman eats 1,183 milligrams of calcium a day. The average woman living in South Africa eats only 80. So we're eating 1,180, they're eating only 80 milligrams of calcium a day. Yet we have 11 and a half times the rate of pelvic fractures as they do. It's not the calcium that you eat. We have been lied to about that. It's the calcium that you lose after menopause. So what you want to do, women, get that stress-bearing exercise. Go for that long walk, and I'm not talking about a slow walk. Good, brisk walk every day around the block. Do it at 5 o'clock in the morning. Do it. Get that time to do it, a good 20-minute walk. And the stress-bearing exercise is the key. Astronauts go up into space, and they're losing 1% of their bone density every month. Forget about a trip to Mars. It ain't going to happen because they'll come back crippled because there's no gravity. There's no ability to have stress-bearing exercise. So you want to maintain your calcium integrity, you eat a plant-based diet. You don't consume the animal protein, which accelerates bone loss. You don't consume caffeine or cigarettes. Otherwise, you're going to lose your calcium, like 40 million American women who have osteoporosis did.
Exactly. And I just want to ask you a question before you get into the diabetes milk connection. What is the link between the milk lobbyists? Because this is an obvious connection, but I would just like you to expound on that, how all of these different lobbyists for the milk industry are affecting us not getting this very important life-saving information that you're sharing with us.
Well, there is a lot of political intrigue, and I pride myself on being a very good, very rigorous investigator. And I actually filed a Freedom of Information Act request about 7-8 years ago for a Watergate tape. And I actually own the tape now of Richard Nixon on March 23rd, 1971, being visited by three members of the dairy industry, and they were carrying into the Oval Office two duffel bags. And the two duffel bags were filled with $3 million cash. And this has been well documented, and it's on tape. And right afterwards, John Connolly walks in and is recorded on the tapes, saying to Nixon, "These men are militant, they're adamant, they're going to place a lot of money into political activities." Well, we know Richard Nixon. We all know the most famous thing he said while he was in the White House. And the most famous quotation from this man's mouth was, "I am not a crook." And he actually said that a year after Watergate, shortly before it was even revealed that the tapes existed. He was interviewed by 100 reporters from the United Press International, live on television. And towards the end of the interview, one of the reporters stood up and said, "Mr. President, how about the rumors of the milk fund?" And Nixon responded, "Well, the Democrats are trying to raise the price of milk, but the Republican Party, we're trying to keep it stable." And yet, when he got that $3 million cash bribe on March 23, 1971, the next day at a cabinet session, he unexpectedly announced that he was raising the price of milk 17 cents per 100 pounds, which translated into a $300 million increase. And I found an issue of the Dairy magazine, Ward's Dairyman, 2 weeks before, where the Secretary of Agriculture, Clifford Hardin, said there will be no increase this year because we have an enormous surplus. In other words, the $3 million cash bribe went a long way into ripping off Americans, and you ask about the politics. Boy, oh boy, when I testified at the United States Department of Agriculture hearings when they were building their food pyramid, their famous food pyramid, I stood up, and Dr. Eileen Kennedy was running the program, and there were 27 of us making statements, and just about everybody had a written statement. Me, I kind of ad-libbed according to what's going on.
What year was that?
That was about 7 years ago.
Okay.
Dr. Eileen Kennedy, who was an undersecretary at USDA, and there were two other undersecretaries there, was on the stage, and she addressed us. And there were a few hundred reporters in the audience. And she said, I want all of you to make your statement and tell us, number one, who you represent, what's the name of your organization, and who finances you. So I was the third person to testify. I got up, and I pointed at her, and I said, Dr. Kennedy, the American people want to know who finances you. And you can hear the gasps in the audience. I said, because I've investigated you. You're on the board of directors of the Dan and Yogurt Research Foundation, and you, Shirley Watkins, you go to American Indian reservations and tell people why they should be eating more cheese. And I went up and down the line. You, Dr. Garza, at Cornell University, get $500,000 a year from the dairy industry at Cornell University to promote their milk extension program. And I had about six conflicts of interest. And it was kind of incredible that these conflicts exist, and they still exist. When you look at the committee who recommends that we eat so much calcium, they're made up of people like Michael Dougherty, David Barbano, Dale Bauman, people who work for the dairy industry. They're with the National Science Foundation, a private group. So the lobbyists, the dairy industry is smart. They get $500 million a year to promote milk, and political donations are part of the story, and they do their job well.
Yes, and the reason I ask you when you testified is because I went to medical school in the early 80s. And as I've often mentioned on the show, we got 10 hours of nutrition as opposed to 2 years of pharmacology. And those 10 hours of nutrition included 4 hours on the basic food groups, 4 hours on milk, and 2 hours on how vitamin supplements give you expensive urine. So it's really
dairy industry has paid, I know, the University of Iowa Medical School $17 million to set up their medical school nutritional program. And if you look up and down the line at medical schools, that's where nutritional information comes from. Paid, sealed, delivered by the dairy and meat industry. They're not so stupid. And so doctors, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors used to recommend that you smoke Camel cigarettes over all the others. And doctors do what they're unfortunately taught. And if they're not taught good science regarding nutrition, that's what they're going to pass on to their patients. And thank goodness they've come out of the closet the last 5 years. Doctors are now recognizing that when their patient gets sick, get them off milk and dairy. The next generation, they'll do it before they get sick.
Yes, and that's one of the most important messages I'm trying to confer to people, is that medical education is just as political as every other thing. And it's totally controlled by these lobbyists, because that's how all these recommendations occur, and the FDA and all their corruption and fraud involving everything, the GMO food and all the different drugs. People have to investigate these things for themselves, and that's why I strongly suggest that all of you go to Robert's website, notmilk.com, and sign up for his updates, because they are outstanding. He's constantly putting out more and more information that you need to know about milk, because it's up to each of us to enlighten our family and our friends. We have to spread the word. You're not going to learn this from your doctor. It's such an important thing that you're doing, and I really commend you. You are the milk guru, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Dr. Carley, you know when it all started? It started after World War II, when Truman was concerned about what the Russians were doing, and a man came and whispered in his ear and said, the Russians are preparing biological weapons, and we've got to counter that. And the man's name was George Merck. And Merck Pharmaceuticals really got its great burst of vaccine money from the government. And that's when they started doing the research. You probably know these things. And when one examines the political power of the pharmaceutical industry, I wrote a column about the George Bush, which resulted in 2 tax audits, the George Bush government being the United States of Monsanto land. But you and I, what do we care? They can shoot us only once, and we hope it's a headshot, right? Because we hate pain. And, there are some very evil people out there.
Yes, there are. And it's so important that you lose your fear, and I love what you just said, because You see, not only can't they do anything to us because we are protected by divine forces, but I love it when these individuals are hired. My website was just crashed for a couple of days, and everybody's calling me. And I laugh when these things happen, and I think to myself, how many people are making a living off, you know, torturing me in one way or the other? And I hope that while they're doing it, they're investigating what I say, because their family is being killed as well. And eventually, maybe they will start reading my information and your information, and they'll ask themselves, why am I doing this? Why am
Let me say something important to you now. Brie, B-R-I-E, cheese is delicious. And so is Parmesan cheese. They're all delicious. They're hard to give up. And yet, when you give them up, it's only then that you recognize what this stuff has been doing to you all these years.
Exactly.
And people who eat only a plant-based diet, vegans, you know, those people from the planet Vega, they have a secret handshake. And we know each other by the way we smell. We get near a meat eater now, and there's an offensive odor coming off their body. The Japanese used to call the American people the butter people, because they could smell the rancid dairy putrefying on our flesh.
Ooh.
And it really makes a big difference to have clean blood, not to have the mucus going through your blood and through your organs.
Exactly.
Really,
as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I noticed myself when I started learning about all these natural things. You don't need deodorant. You don't need all these different things to cover up your smells, because you don't have that toxic smell of the sweat coming off of you, because sweat is just another way that your body is detoxifying itself. And when you're not filling yourself with poison, your sweat smells like water.
Or sweet, as you said. Vegans have a saying that vegans make better lovers. We smell different. We have different spiritual essence and physical essence to our body fluids. And we definitely are different.
I totally agree with that, because we could get into another whole show about the rage hormones and everything that's produced when the cows are slaughtered, but that's another show. And we have so much information to go into, so let's get going. The next thing I wanted you to enlighten our listeners about is, what is the link between diabetes and milk?
Well, what's remarkable about diabetes is Scientific American, which everybody can find in their library, in October of 1992, the Scientific American wrote, the National Dairy Board slogan, milk, it does a body good, sounds a little hollow these days. They ridicule the dairy industry, because 3 months earlier, July 30th, 92, the New England Journal of Medicine published a study that showed that exposure to a protein in milk, bovine serum lactobumin, is a trigger for insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. Now, to make it simple, what happens is your body is constantly reacting to foreign invaders. And when you eat these dairy proteins, your body produces antibodies. These abrasive proteins that you eat are called antigens. So your body makes an antibody to destroy the foreign invader, and suddenly it destroys the foreign invader, and suddenly in some people it turns around and goes, look, there's more. And in your pancreas, in the Isles of Langerhans, you manufacture insulin. The beta cells of your pancreas are manufacturing insulin. And these beta cells of your pancreas that make insulin resemble the bovine serum lactobumin, so that your body is fooled. It's called an autoimmune response. The word auto means self. So you're destroying the foreign invader, and then for some people, you have to have a genetic predisposition. For some people, you actually end up destroying your own insulin-producing cells. These are the people who get diabetes. And some people, 16 million Americans. And it's all about dairy. And since that July 1992 publication, there have been hundreds of additional publications, and nobody is taking this, very few people are really taking this to heart. The great doctors are, the people like Dr. Michael Greger, Dr. John McDougall, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, people are with a brain who think for themselves are saying, my goodness, here's the link to diabetes. Dr. Joe Furman in New Jersey actually has a cure. He cures everybody who comes to him. And you probably do the same by getting them off of milk and dairy products. Type 2 diabetes now. You can get a person completely reverse it by getting the client off of milk and dairy.
Yes. Well, you also have to get them to detox their vaccinations because many of the vaccinations are now made out of aborted fetuses, which can have pancreatic tissue in the actual culture that's used to grow the viruses, and you're injecting them with that, and they're developing antibodies against the pancreatic cells. But that's why I always tell people it's the big picture. I agree with you, everything that you're saying about milk, but there's so many other factors that are involved. But the good news to the people, because I always like to tell them the good news, is that once you become educated, and you have to do this research yourself, you have to go to websites like notmilk.com, read my papers on inoculations. Check things out for yourself, folks, because this is how you're going to learn the truth. Because as Robert has told us, there's so many other influences involved in propagandizing the doctors. As far as I'm concerned, the doctors are the last place you should go to get any information on health and nutrition because they have no clue. And this is very sad, but that's the way it is. So people just have to realize that and take control of their own lives and do their due diligence, and they will be rewarded with outstanding health for doing so. It's well worth the time and effort. Okay, let's go on to asthma. How is
Dr. Carley, I want to just add something to that regarding vaccines. There was a great debate, health debate, at the end of the 19th century, going into the beginning of the 20th century. Two Frenchmen, Dr. Beauchamp, who you probably know of, and a man by the name of Louis Pasteur, who actually wasn't a doctor. Medicine could have gone in one or two directions. And unfortunately, it went in the direction where it was claimed that giving people injections are going to make them healthy. And Beauchamp was of the belief that if you have a healthy body, you don't need injections, you don't need chemicals, you're going to repel disease.
Exactly.
And today we're finding out how true that is. But unfortunately, modern medicine, there was no money in it to go and have a healthy body.
Yeah.
And the skeptic that I am, I believe that some of the insiders knew this, and yet there was no money in treating people to make them healthy before they got disease. And then
we
just hide the symptoms with drugs, and that doesn't cure anything.
I totally agree with you, and that is self-evident. And that is where the conscience of the doctor comes in. You see, I went to medical school because I wanted to help people. And that is why, once I realized that my profession is creating disease and recommending all these disease causers on top of it all, I kind of, you know, turned against them. Because I want to help people. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And you see, although it's not as financially beneficial, I don't make nearly as much now as I did as a surgeon, I love what I do. When people call me and tell me how well they're getting, this makes me very happy. That's my motivation. And unfortunately, the way the medical establishment has developed, you have to pay so many hundreds of thousands of dollars to get your medical degree. It's very hard to step out of the box and start questioning things once you sign up for that medical license. But like you said, there's many doctors who are doing so, and the number is going to increase as time goes on because the people are educating themselves and asking the hard questions. And, you know, it's basically a paradigm shift that's occurring right now. And your information is so important, and I know that you're teaching many doctors what they need to know about this subject as well.
Well, I've lectured at a number of medical schools, and I tell people to, there's a medicine I want them to take every day called dithiocyanates. And actually, dithiocyanates are broccoli, cauliflower, cruciferous vegetables. I want you to take lycopene in the form of tomatoes and watermelon. I want you to take protease inhibitors and lignins and saponins and these magic substances called isoflavones. That's where it's at, because that's what's going to prevent the disease and keep your body strong. And there are hundreds, thousands of different magic chemicals to be found in fresh fruits and vegetables. And that's where it's at. And there's plenty of disease to be found in milk and meat.
And the message is that the Creator knew what he was doing. And these mad scientists that are trying to improve on all of this are out of their minds, and we have to fire them. Okay, let's keep going because time is so short. You have so much information to share. The asthma situation is very important. Please do explain to the listeners the link between milk and asthma.
Well, everybody knows protein is good for you. We all need protein. And 80% of the protein in milk or cheese is a substance called casein, C-A-S-E-I-N. Casein, when they extract it from milk, is a glue that's used to hold together the wood in your furniture. And it's the glue used to put a label on a bottle of beer. And when you eat casein, in 10, 12, 15 hours, you produce histamines. When you make histamines, you make mucus, and lots of it. The average cheese eater has an extra 3 quarts of mucus in his or her body. And the mucus is clogging your pancreas and spleen and lungs and liver and blood. You don't even know it's there. And that's why I advise people, go 7 days, don't eat any dairy at all, not even Parmesan cheese for your pasta. Zero dairy, read labels. If you see casein, don't eat it. And on day 8, I want you to have dairy, have your yogurt for breakfast, have your pizza for dinner, have ice cream for dessert, and see what happens on day 9. It's all going to come back. And you're living your entire life with day 9s if you're a dairy user. And if you want to go back to the way you felt when you were a freshman in high school, with energy and vigor, and it's just amazing. You're going to sleep better. Your sexual energy will go through the roof. You're not going to have the emotions that you may have. In 1996, the Townsend Medical Letter, which is a letter written by doctors for doctors, Julie Clotta wrote the article, described milk symptoms as being responsible for mucus production and hemoglobin loss and diabetes and heart disease and atherosclerotic plaquing, kidney stones, and numbers 8, 9, and 10 on her list were mood swings, depression, and irritability. Now, every sip of cow's milk contains estrogen and progesterone and prolactin and melatonin and oxytocin and powerful steroid and protein hormones. You wouldn't take one of these as a pill in the morning, and yet you're taking 59 of these that I know about every single time you have a bowl of Rice Krispies. And it's about hormones. You're making yourself crazy, and you don't even realize it. Go 7 days without dairy. You're going to see the difference, I promise you.
I totally agree with you. Okay, now if you could tell us about low-fat or skim milk, is there any benefit to going in that direction?
Well, fat is a problem, but when you take out the fat, you actually have a proportionate greater amount of protein. And believe it or not, protein is the problem with milk. These powerful growth hormones are protein hormones. And again, the dairy industry has made us believe that fat is bad, and I agree, saturated fat is bad. But when you go to Domino's, you don't order a low-fat pizza, and the same thing with Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Skim milk was once used, before it became a commercially marketed product, skim milk was used, it was a waste product, that was used to fatten hogs before slaughter. In other words, they get really fat from drinking skim milk. Why? Because of the naturally occurring growth hormones. We're not talking about a pill they give cows. We're not talking about a shot we put into her butt. We're talking about the natural presence of growth hormones. Milk nurtures the baby cow. She gains 500 pounds in the first 6 months of her life because it's all about growth and growth hormones. And that's what milk is.
Exactly. Okay, what about goat's milk? I have a lot of clients that ask me whether or not goat's milk is better because, of course, goat's milk is not, you know, under the same...
Oh, goat's milk is wonderful. Goat's milk is the perfect drink for a baby goat. How about dog's milk? They're our best friends, right? How about pig's milk? Oink, oink.
Yeah.
They resemble humans.
Okay, I guess you answered that question. Okay.
Okay.
So where should one get their calcium from if we exclude milk?
Well, that's a really good question. And one of the columns I wrote recently examined the amount of calcium in food. First of all, in order to absorb 1 milligram of calcium, you need an equal milligram of magnesium. Magnesium is a center atom of the green stuff, of chlorophyll. And when you look at calcium values in food, whether you believe in God or Mother Nature or evolution, something very intelligent decided that calcium would be present in human breast milk. And if you look at a 100-gram portion of human breast milk, there are 40 milligrams of calcium. Potato chips have 45. Chickpeas have 150. Sesame seeds have 1,000. Your food is loaded with calcium, more calcium in potato chips than human breast milk. Okay? It's virtually impossible to live in America and eat any kind of American diet and not satisfy your calcium needs. And remember what I told you about South African women. They're eating 80 milligrams a day of calcium. We're eating 1,183, and we have 11.5 times the rate of pelvic fractures for women. It's not the calcium. You're going to get all the calcium you need from food. Your 22-year-old boy or girl is not going to have osteoporosis. It just don't happen. And what does happen is after menopause, when women become couch potatoes and they don't get their stress-bearing exercises and they keep eating acid foods, lots of meat, that cause calcium to be leached from their bones, that's the acceleration of bone loss.
Well, I totally agree with you, but I must also add two other substances onto your list of the bad guys. One is fluoride. Fluoride is also known to cause osteoporosis. And a biggie that's now happening in ever-increasing amounts is steroids. I never cease to be amazed at how many different conditions that the white coats are prescribing steroids for. And the steroids are known to be problematic with the bones. As a matter of fact, they oftentimes cause fractures, and it just is amazing how many people that are taking steroids in all forms. They're inhaling it for asthma. They're using creams for their rashes. They're taking it orally for all kinds of autoimmune conditions. It is poison. So it's these other things as well. But, yes, it's not the lack of calcium that's the problem. I totally agree with you. What people have to do is realize what all these other things are doing. Okay, so basically, where does one get their calcium and protein from if they totally exclude milk from their diet?
Well, again, dark green leafy vegetables are going to give you calcium and magnesium in the right proportion. It's a one-to-one proportion. So try those collards and kale and romaine lettuce. Not the iceberg lettuce, it's virtually nil. Eat hummus, because those chickpeas are so very rich in calcium. But again, you don't have to focus on eating Tums or increasing the amount of calcium you eat, because too much calcium is a problem. Too much vitamin D is a problem. We now know that rodents are killed by giving them a vitamin D, which causes an excretion of calcium from bones, and yet they add it to milk, which is ridiculous. You look at normal food and dark green leafy vegetables, you're going to get all the calcium you need.
Amen. Okay. And one of my big focuses is autism. And as I always explain to people, that autism is largely caused by the measles vaccine, which causes demyelination because the measles virus has very much antigenically similar proteins to the myelin basic protein, and by forming the anti-measles antibodies, they're actually attacking their myelin sheath. But please do also explain to the listeners how milk is also a very big problem with autism.
I agree with you. Vaccines at an early age have been linked to autism, and I got to give Imus credit, because for years before he left his first job, he was a champion for anti-vaccine information. But Dr. Robert Cade at the University of Florida, who just passed away recently, did research on a naturally occurring hormone in milk that he attributed to autism and attention deficit disorder. And that hormone has a nice name. It's called casomorphine. and it's an opiate. And milk is actually has something that has a weak addiction to it. And Dr. Anthony Moss took an entire school of children in Florida. It's a prison school of juvenile delinquents, children who had committed violent crime, and put them on an entirely vegan diet for a semester. That means no dairy. And experienced an enormous change in their behavior, learning curve soared, and changed the kids because of basically a dietary change. We now know that vaccines cause damage, and it can be reversed. And I understand you're doing remarkable work reversing that damage. But we also know that you get a child off of milk and dairy completely, 100%, and we also, in most cases, see a dramatic change. Of course, if a child is damaged by that myelin sheath degradation with a vaccine, which so unfortunately often occurs, they're a very difficult thing to reverse. But again, remarkable things have happened thanks to doctors like you.
Right. Well, it's not difficult to reverse, actually. You just have to detox the measles vaccine, stop the antibody production, and give homeopathic remedies as well as natural things like turmeric, which will actually help to build the myelin sheath. But once again, it's always the big picture. People have to understand that there's so many factors that are involved in causing these different problems. And what's really disgusting to me, Robert, is how the alphabet agencies put in place to protect us are doing the exact opposite. They're totally corrupt. They have all these different lobbyists and people sticking cash in their back pockets. They're supposed to help us, and they're not doing it. And that's why people like us have dedicated our lives to doing the right thing, no matter how much IRS tax audits we have to go through, no matter how much persecution. And I just send you such a big hug, because you are one of my heroes for what you're doing. And we're running out of time. I just want to mention once again, Robert's website is notmilk.com. The two books that I have of his are Milk the Deadly Poison and Milk A to Z, but he also has two more books, God's Nutritionist and Food for Thought. I highly recommend that you sign up for his updates so that you can get his information on milk. And I'm going to be doing another show with him on my other broadcast on republicbroadcasting.org in the near future that you definitely want to stay tuned for. This show will be archived. And all I can say, Robert, is God bless you. Keep up the good work. And the good news is that the people are waking up. And they are waking up because we are feeding them the truth. That's what they need more than anything. They need the truth. So thank you for doing this in regards to milk.
Well, one more thing I want to add now, because you just taught me something. In other words, if I have a child with autism, I should feed that child Indian food, curry, because it's made with turmeric, right? Does that make sense? We should have a cookbook. We should have an autism cookbook with curry recipes.
Turmeric is good, but the first thing you have to do is teach him to stop vaccinating. That's the first
Well, of course. Well, we're talking about therapy.
Yes. Anyway. Okay. Well,
thank you for inviting me to visit with you. I really had a nice time.
Okay, and we'll be talking again in the near future, and keep up the good work.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.